I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, we'll go out to Pittsburgh. As always, the Zach Gelb Show is coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Charlie Batch is going to join us. And just to give you a little bit of a refresher, we talked about in the last segment, Big Ben's agent did just speak, and he said they want Ben back talking about the Steelers and will contact me soon to address his cap situation. As we've shared since the season ended, we are happy to creatively adjust his contract to help them build the best team possible. And Big Ben, according to Jerry Dulac today, did meet with Art Rooney II, and the meeting, quote, went well. Charlie, it looks like Ben's coming back, right?
That's what it looks like. There's been a lot of speculation over the last few weeks, and yeah, nobody really knew anything until this meeting occurred. So I think when you look at what's going on now, I think both parties expect him to be back for the Steelers.
What type of QB do you think he could be for this upcoming season?
Well, I think it's pretty much what you saw last year. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, what Matt Canada, now that he's been named new offensive coordinator, how is he going to indicate and move that offense, or at least from a play-calling perspective? So last year they used him in mindset of throwing short, allowing the young, talented receivers to run after the catch. It worked early on, but then it caught up to him at the end, and they wasn't able to keep and complete those passes downfield. So really, to be honest with you, it's probably what we've seen last year. It would surprise me if there's anything new.
Charlie Batch here with us. Well, they got to run the football better. That's something for certain, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's unheard of. I mean, Steelers have been middle of the pack, maybe lower level, but never 32nd in the league rushing. And when you look at you apply that to the Steelers, you're like, man, that's unheard of. So they know they have to get better in that department. They know already they're probably going to lose James Conner in free agency, so they're probably going to add somebody. I don't know if that's the realm of the free agent or through the draft. The biggest question right now is this offensive line up front, because of Marquise Pouncey's retirement. We don't know what's going to happen with Big Al Villanueva. So there could potentially be 2 to 3 new starters on that offensive line up front.
Can they win a Super Bowl this year?
If they don't turn the ball over, yes. But a lot of that comes down to, can they figure out how to get the running game going again? And if they do, then that would open up some play action down the field, because that was non-existent in this running game. They tried to do play action, and the defense were kind of laughing at them, like, you really expect us to bite on that play action fake? So those are things that, in one area that they could potentially get better in. They get the running game going, you'll probably see a lot more chunk plays in the middle of the field, with the utilization of the tight end there.
Because I look at this team, I like the defense a lot. I think it's a championship caliber defense, Charlie Batch, but offensively, with all the salary cap situation that they're in, and I guess the purgatory, if you want to call it that, I don't know how much they could drastically change that offense to get some more balance in it this offseason.
Yeah, and that's true. And I think that's why you'll see this draft heavily focused on the offensive side of the ball. And when you mention the Steelers' defense, man, they get Devin Bush back in the middle of that defense. You have Robert Spillane, who showed up well. You have Vince Williams, but you know, what does that look like on the outside? Yes, we all know T.J. Watt is a monster by himself, and he'll get a big pay raise this offseason. But the caveat to that defense is really Bud Dupree. And a lot of people expect him to leave free agency and those type of things. But if he doesn't get the money in the first couple of weeks of free agency, the Steelers are going to try to keep lines of communication open and say, hey, if you're going to play on a one-year deal, why not give us the opportunity? You bring value to our defense. You ball out next year, and then you get the free agency mark in 2022. So that is that's not out of the element there. But that's why I fully expect this draft to be offensively focused along with free agency, because we're talking about everything else, and that's not even in addition to a new receiver they're going to have to add in here, because I don't think they can afford Juju Smith-Schuster.
Charlie Batch here with us on the Zach Gelb Show, QB Carousel, highlighting the Pittsburgh Steelers. You got to think this is Ben's final year, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's probably the honest conversation that he had with our Rooney today, Steelers owner. So I think they probably figure it out. Like, yeah, we know he can't come back on the 41 cap number. Okay, great. Both sides agree to that. But what does it look like on an extension? Because that's how this is going to work. And generally, when you have a cap number this high, you get a year's added on and new money. What I think could possibly happen is they're going to say, okay, Ben, yes, 41 million cap number. You're only making 19 million this year. Maybe we kind of split that up, give you some of that in a prorated signing bonus, and then split the remaining over the next couple years to kind of smooth it out, because both of them probably internally are saying this could possibly be the last year. And if it is, at least provide the team some flexibility from a cap perspective if they had to make the decision again next year.
We talk about the need to add offensive line depth with Pouncey retiring and it looking like in the running back room, we clearly know that they need an improvement there because they were 32nd last year, and James Conner is probably going to depart the team in free agency. With all the concerns on the line and also in the backfield, if a guy like Mac Jones is available where the Steelers are picking at 24, could you see the Steelers taking a quarterback in the first round?
That's tough for me to really to say yes at this point. The only reason is because they really like Mason Rudolph on this Steelers roster. The Steelers front office personnel, they really like where they at. Yes, they drafted him in the third round, but they actually had a first-round grade on him. So they believe in what's going to happen there. I just don't believe that they draft a quarterback, because that means a few years ago you drafted in 2017 Joshua Dobbs. He walks out the door in free agency this year. Now you have Mason Rudolph, who will be entering into his final year of the deal, and he was a third-round draft pick. Dude, can you afford to let two of your picks walk out of that door with no compensation? So that's the hardest part. And I know they have, you know, flexibility there because they brought Dwayne Haskins in. He's a low signing risk, but he's a former first-round pick, so they can get a chance to look at him for one season and determine whether or not he can be that guy. And if he can, they'll probably still have him on his rookie deal versus looking at Mason Rudolph. And if he's your guy, that means now you have to now commit to him long-term to keep him around here. So I just don't see them going quarterback in the first round.
I like bringing in Haskins. I thought it was low risk, high reward, no harm there. But when you talk about how much they like Mason Rudolph, do you see something in his play that suggests that he could be the next franchise quarterback for this team?
Well, I think for the first eight games that he started 2 years ago, I think when you look at what happened there, and I'm talking about the 2019 season, he did have, you know, a couple games. He played in the Seattle game, which was week two, and then from there he started the next 7-8 games, and they actually played well. It was just the fact that he got injured. He was slightly injured, and then he ended up getting benched for Duck Hodges for that period of time in the middle of the season, and he went on a run. Yes, he came back at the end of the season, but at that point, I don't think they saw enough of him to determine whether or not he can be ready for a full 16-week season. Now, in next year's case, could possibly be 17 weeks to be prepared for a full season. So we just don't know that. But this is the beauty of sports. We all figure this question out, and we're all going to figure the answer to the question out as next year's season moves on, or whenever that point comes, if Mason Rudolph had to take over.
Is it safe to say the Steelers now are the third best team in the division, that Baltimore and the Browns look to be better set for this upcoming year?
Yeah, definitely third. I mean, in some people's eyes, it could be fourth. So, and that's unheard of around here during Big Ben's tenure here with the Steelers, because everybody gets gung-ho about Joey Burrow. They think he's going to come back, and if he comes back, they're going to be competitive. So when you look at just the top two teams in his division, you're going to have to start with Baltimore, and then you're going to look at Cleveland because they beat the Steelers last year. So right now, yes, it's fair to say that they are 13 in the AFC North.
Charlie Batch, great stuff as always. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
There's Charlie Batch. Two things off that. If there's a quarterback that they like at 24, I think you got to take him because I personally don't believe in Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins for the future. But Charlie's plugged into the Steelers, and they like Mason Rudolph. So you can make a case. You pass on the quarterback, especially because you're not going to probably get your first selection or second selection, maybe even third selection there at 24. And there's so many other needs where you're going to need rookies to come in right away and contribute to the team. I know what happened last year with Chase Claypool, but the odds of that happening on the offensive line and I guess running back, it can happen. The odds aren't really in the favor, in a good favor for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let me clarify one thing I said last hour about Big Ben. They can give him an extension, but they can't commit extra money, like serious money, where it's, all right, we're going to pay him at a monster salary next year. If you want to divide up that dead cap, okay. But if they're thinking, if the Steelers are thinking that Ben's going to be around by giving him an extension for another year after this season, that I would not agree with. Big Ben, to me, this will be his final year in Pittsburgh. All right, let's hit the next team.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Longtime team broadcaster, former Falcons QB David Archer is here with us. Falcons have a new regime with Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot in town, replacing Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn. I think Matt Ryan and Julio Jones will be back this season, but how much longer will they stay? The Falcons, they're picking number four in the draft. David, how likely is it that a QB goes to the Falcons at number four?
Well, right now, I guess I'd have to go 50-50. You know, I don't know that I could hedge my bet any more than that. I think that there is some interest. Certainly, Terry Fontenot, the new general manager here in Atlanta, has made it a case of being at the workout. Certainly, Trevor Lawrence's workout. We know Trevor's not going to be available, but certainly he's made it known that he's going to be at all the workouts for all the prospective guys that it potentially will be there at four, whether it's Zach Wilson, whether it's Justin Fields, Trey Lance. I mean, it's a number of guys, I guess, that could fit in that spot. So they have not shown their hand, nor will Terry show his hand. He's been very adamant about the fact that he's not interested in helping his opponent know what they'll potentially do or what they think of potential players, so which most GMs are probably going to play it out that way.
I don't think all three QBs will be available, but probably two out of the three will, with the guys that you just mentioned, Wilson, Fields, and also Trey Lance. Do you have a preference on one right now?
Well, I'd prefer not to take a quarterback, to be honest with you. I would, if I were the general manager, I would take Penei Sewell if he's sitting there at four, which he most likely will be, potentially. I guess there's a chance he might go to the Jets early or something of that nature, but Penei Sewell would be the guy I would take if I stayed Pat. If I didn't stay Pat, I'd trade back, try to garner an extra pick in the top 40, probably take a DB, probably take a corner, one of the top two corners, whether it's Fairley or whether it's Patrick Surtain. I could prefer Patrick Surtain. The team with A.J. Terrell is the other corner that we drafted a year ago in the first round. Now Dean Pease has a couple of guys in the corner to help facilitate what he wants to do defensively. You garner an extra pick, and maybe that second pick or third pick, if you can get one in the top 40, turns into Jamie Newman, somebody like that from a quarterback standpoint that's a future guy.
Just wondering, with that fourth overall pick philosophy and not taking a quarterback, is part of that because you still believe that Matt Ryan could win at Atlanta, or you just don't like any of those three guys at the number four spot?
Well, I think it's twofold. One, I know Ryan can still win here. I mean, if you could protect him, which most quarterbacks, if you got some protection, we saw what happened with Patrick Mahomes with no protection, what happens to a quarterback. If you could protect him, give him some semblance of a running game, they've got perimeter players that can beat anybody in the league. And in the back end of that, I don't know about the quarterbacks. I mean, can you tell me what Zach Wilson's going to be after playing four or five high school teams last year? Potentially is what his schedule look like. I don't know what Fields is. I mean, Fields has played, a season and a half of football because the Big Ten didn't play a full season this year, so I'm not sure what he is. And certainly Ohio State has not had a good track record of quarterbacks coming out over the last couple of seasons. And I'm not sure what Trey Lance is. He played one game. I mean, he was outstanding in 19, didn't throw an interception, was spectacular, but again, he's playing Division I AA ball or FCS ball. So I don't know what those other three quarterbacks are.
David Archer here with us on the show. It's the Zach Gelb Show. QB Carousel, our stop is in Atlanta talking about the Falcons. When we get to Matt, and clearly you're still confident in his abilities, and I could see that, he is getting up there in age, but now who knows with how long these quarterbacks are playing. He's under contract through 2023. I know you said it's 50-50 that they'll take a quarterback at four, and I guess a lot of my next question is going to depend on what they do in the draft, but do you see him finishing out his career in Atlanta and maybe getting another contract after 2023?
No, I don't think there's another contract in the offing. I do see where there's a potential where he would be here through the life of the contract through 2023, but that would be more in a role potentially where if you take a young quarterback this year, that probably no later than the 22 season, that guy's probably on the field. And at that point, I think the guaranteed money, and I haven't looked at all the breakdowns and the dead money, but I think his money over the back end of the contract begins to die out from a dead money standpoint and or guaranteed money. So you could do whatever you wanted to at that point with him. But I do think there's some value to him being here from a face of the franchise standpoint, certainly from a mentor standpoint for a young quarterback that's looking to play at this level.
How far away do you think this team is from returning to the postseason?
Well, I think it's a couple players. It's two or three players. I think that they have to be able to provide pass rush. They've not been able to get pass rush. I think they do have some decent pieces in the secondary. If you can add to that, I talked about the corner. I think the running back position is a position of need. Can they find a way to get a guy in the early part of the second round, mid part of the second round, can be a difference maker at running back. Their perimeter players are as good as anybody's in the league. You can't doubt Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, and even Russell Gage, who emerged as a third receiver that's as good as anybody else's third receiver for the most part in the league. So I think you'll like those people. I think Hayden Hurst showed flashes at tight end. It's about being able to block people up front, which they have not been able to do. Can you solidify that left guard position? That's been a position of need. Can you find, like, Penny Sewell potentially comes in at left tackle, kick Jake Matthews inside to play left guard? Can that work? There's a lot of different options for Terry Fontenot and certainly for Arthur Smith.
We clearly are talking about the quarterback and what's going to happen with him through his future. How about Julio Jones, who's under contract through 2023 as well?
Yeah, Jones is a guy that you probably, at this point, what is it? Julio's at 32 years of age, so we know that he's had some injury issues over the last season or two. They specifically hired a couple of guys from a strength and conditioning standpoint that were going to address some of the soft tissue issues that Julio dealt with. He had a number of hamstring injuries. We had a couple of guys on the team actually that had hamstring injuries, so they're doubting what was going on from a strength and conditioning standpoint. They've switched that up, hopefully, to help that out a little bit. But, hey, he's getting older, and we know that these receivers can only go so long. There's only a select few guys who can continue to get it done at the highest possible level. His game is more about speed and physicality. So if you take one of those elements away, his speed away, then I think he becomes potentially an average receiver. So I would say that Julio's probably looking at maybe a year, two, and that's going to be it.
After so many years of Dan Quinn and also Thomas Dimitroff, what has been your early impression? There hasn't been a lot of time and not a lot to do, but what has been the early thoughts on Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith?
Well, Arthur Smith is a guy that I'm excited about simply because of his offensive line prowess. You look at what he did the last couple seasons in Tennessee. Even, Matt LaFleur, who was the OC in 18, did not have an offense anywhere near what Arthur Smith has had in 19 and 20. They've been a team that's gone to the playoffs or a team that wants to come off the ball and shorten your neck and get after you physically. That means that's going to help the passer. You've got a running game. I think he centers things around that. I saw some ingenuity in the red zone and how good they were and how effective they were there. Fontenot is a guy that's really impressive just with where he carries himself, how he listens. He's a guy that asks questions. I don't know if that leads to selecting better players. Atlanta has really struggled to draft strength position players, defensive and offensive linemen. They've really struggled in that area. I'm hoping that Terry has a little bit more of a grip on that to where they can add a few players that would solidify both sides of the offensive and defensive line.
There he is. That's David Archer, the former Falcons quarterback and longtime now color analyst for the radio broadcast. Just to give you the Matt Ryan dead cap, 2021, 2022, 2023 are the years. $49 million, $26 million, $8.6 million. So if they draft a quarterback at four, they'll then trade him in this offseason, next offseason. who are they going to take at four? Because Lawrence is going one. The Jets will either get Watson. If they don't get Watson, then at two, they're going to take either Wilson or Fields. The Dolphins won't take a quarterback at three. Maybe they go Devontae Smith. Or maybe they go offensive line with Penei Sewell. If you're at four, the Falcons don't need another wide receiver, but you're probably trading Julio Jones not that far down the road. Maybe they take Devontae Smith if he's there at four. Would they go Jamar Chase? Probably not a position of need, but if they fall in love with those wide receivers, imagine having Calvin Ridley and either Jamar Chase or Devontae Smith for years and years to come, and you get something back for Julio Jones. But probably they're going to go offensive line or they go quarterback. And it all depends on what Terry Fontenot thinks of Wilson and Fields and who's available there, or maybe even Trey Lance, too, at that four spot. So Matt Ryan, I would say, maybe two more years at most in Atlanta, and going into that final year of that deal, I would expect them to trade him. But probably I would expect them, if they do take a quarterback at four, which that would be my guess right now, that they would move on from Matt Ryan after the 2021 season. And for Julio, the dead cap number, $38.5 million this year, $15.5 the next year, and then $7.75 the next year. If the team is not all that good this year, and you're also transitioning potentially from Matt Ryan after this season, it may make sense to get back what you could probably get back, I would think, a first-round pick for Julio Jones if he has a healthy year this year and puts up some dominant numbers, which we all know he's accustomed to, because when he's healthy, he's a top-three wide receiver in the sport. Another day of the QB Carousel. We'll come on back and we'll get you all the latest on Russell Wilson.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
So we already do the All-Star Game starters for the NBA. Now we have the reserves. I'll refresh your memory because, let me tell you, this NBA All-Star Game and all the All-Star Games, man, really something that we got to pay attention to. And really something with everything going on in the world. That's got to be right at the front of your cabeza, correct? Ryan Tracehickey, we definitely got to know who's going to be an all-star, right, in the NBA. This is a big event. All the players, they want to be a part of this all-star game, right? LeBron is dying to go play in this all-star game this year.
Got to see my guy Julius Randle dominate.
Ah, wow.
Yeah, get him in there. Let's go.
You're a party pooper.
Why?
We had all this suspense. We didn't tell the audience who the reserves were.
No, I didn't say he's in. I'm rooting for it. So I want to see.
Yeah.
I can't lie. I did tune into TNT to see. So
did you really?
I did.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, sure.
Off the top of your head, and we've known the starters, I think, for a few weeks now, can you tell me who the All-Star Game starters are in the Eastern Conference and Western Conference?
I can, in part also because I sent in an email this morning.
Oh, you do? So yes. So you know them. You could go 10 for 10 here.
I should, yeah.
All right, Western Conference, go ahead.
Luka.
Yep.
Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron.
Yep.
Oh, geez.
You got two more here.
I know.
You got a guard and a center.
I know. Oh,
center's easy.
Yeah, I know. And now, oh my goodness. Yeah, I hate being on the spot.
Nikola Jokic.
Yes. Holy smokes.
Now the guard. You got to get the guard. He probably shouldn't. He should be. Luka should not have been.
I know, because I have Luka.
Damian Lillard should have been a starter, and Luka Doncic shouldn't have been. Come on, the guy is an MVP candidate. He's back. Let me throw a mouth guard at you.
Steph Curry, holy cow.
I
hate being on the spot.
I know, that's why I'm doing this. Because you are uncomfortable, and it's my job to make you uncomfortable. Now, in the Eastern Conference, two of the guys you can't stand, you hate them with the burning passion, just you, because you're a hater of that basketball team.
No, listen, I actually like Kevin Durant a lot.
Okay.
I have no disdain. I have really no disdain for anyone. But
I can't stand the Nets.
Kevin Durant. I don't trust Kyrie Irving, that is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I won't hide that. Zero trust for him, but those two are starters.
But sources are telling me. This is what I've been told.
Sure, let's hear some sources.
When the Nets are currently on their six-game win streak and just went 5-0 on that West Coast trip.
Very impressive.
At your little ski trip over the weekend. I may or may not have talked to your girlfriend. May have had a little communication.
Wow.
She said that you were losing sleep at night over the fact that the Nets were good. And she even told me that in the middle of the night, you screamed out, "I can't stand the Brooklyn Nets." That's what I was told.
I don't want to throw your sources under the bus and say they're wrong, but rolling down the mountain all weekend, you know, I was too tired to even wake up in the middle of the night.
I'm just so you're calling your girlfriend a liar is what you're doing.
I am not questioning the sources. I'm just saying, you know, someone may be fabricating the truth.
The Zach Gelb show is going to the Maury show.
I guess.
Trying to restore your relationship.
And here she comes on the phone line. Line one.
All right. So you got Kyrie. You got Kevin Durant.
That will be Giannis as the third.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah. Embiid
mm-hmm.
as the fourth.
And the other one is actually the player of the week. Conveniently, we'll get this in the read in just a second. You know who the player of the week is.
Reminding me. Yes, that would be.
I would hope so.
Bradley Beal.
Yep. And the player of the week is brought to you by Granger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done this week. It's Wizards All-Star guard Bradley Beal, who's a starter in the All-Star game. Beal helped Washington rattle off five victories in a row, including a 127-124 overtime victory over the Lakers last night. During this five-game winning streak, Beal has averaged 33.4 points per game while shooting 53% from the floor. The Player of the Week was sponsored by Grainger. For all the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry backed by 24/7 support and free access to product specialists and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. So once again, as we hear Trace just bloviate through those 10 All-Star Game starters, abada, 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 it's Steph, Luka, LeBron, Kawhi, Nikola Jokic. And in the East, Kyrie, Bradley Beal, Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and then Joel the Process Embiid. Now, Shams Charania, he had the list of reserves for the Western Conference. Chris Paul of the Suns, Paul George, playoff Pinocchio of the Clippers, Damian Lillard, who should have been an All-Star Game starter for the Portland Trail Blazers, Donovan Mitchell, who's been a stud this year for the Jazz, Mitchell's teammate Rudy Gobert, Zion Williamson, and Anthony Davis. Now, when I look at notable omissions here, I would say the first name that comes to mind, not in the All-Star Game from the Western Conference, Devin Booker. That's the first name. And Devin Booker will probably get in, because I would be pleasantly surprised with the Achilles injury if Anthony Davis participates in this All-Star game. But you never know, because the NBA players, even though we poke fun at, and they're right, I don't think they should play an All-Star game this year. But some players, they do take the All-Star game. I don't want to say seriously, but they take great pride in appearing in the All-Star game. Now in the East, your reserves, James Harden, so Brooklyn. I argued, and I said it yesterday, that James Harden's the MVP of the Nets. He's not a starter, but he's only played 18 games for them, so I could understand that. Julius Randle, go New York, go New York, go! How about that, by the way? Four players from the New York basketball teams. Three from the real New York basketball team, the Brooklyn Nets, which I'm not naive, I know. The Knicks, they're still king in town, even though the Nets are the much better basketball team. Jason Tatum from the Boston Celtics. Jaylen Brown from the Boston Celtics. I guess he's the most underrated player in the league. Zach LaVine. Now, I don't know if you classify him necessarily. Some people say, he's not underrated. He's been in the spotlight. What he's been doing the last 2 months is just absurd. So that's well deserved. Ben Simmons gets in from the Sixers, and Nikola Vucevic from the Magic get in as well. Some names that come to mind that did not get in. Trae Young, and I will also say, I'm not saying he should have been an All-Star, but someone that second-best player, right, on the Milwaukee Bucks, been an All-Star, Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton did not get in. So, shows you some of the problems that Bucks roster's having, but then yet again, you look at Boston. Boston's been having problems this year, and I can't really disagree with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown getting into the All-Star game. So those are your All-Star game starters and also your reserves. Those are the rosters for this year, and we'll see who does pull out because of injury.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Just want to give you a little update on the Tiger Woods situation. This was just published by the Los Angeles Times. If you have not heard, which I'm sure you have by now, Tiger Woods was involved in a serious car crash today. Just his vehicle. From what Fox News was saying, he was driving. He had a second part of an extended stay for the Genesis Invitational. He was there as the host this past weekend, did the interview with Jim Nantz that you saw on Sunday, where he said he hoped he was going to be able to play in the Masters because he did have back surgery in January. He was waiting for the results of an MRI. He did crash his car today and suffered multiple leg injuries, is what we were told. It could have been a fatal accident. And many people are saying he's lucky to still be alive. He went for surgery today, and he was taken to the hospital. And it was talked about earlier from the fire chief, Darrell Osby, and also the L.A. County Sheriff, Alex Villanueva, that there was no signs of him being impaired, no evidence to suggest that he was impaired. And from the story that we got from Fox News, he was there Monday, and they were doing a shoot where he wasn't really playing golf. He was doing like some putting, and I don't even know if he was doing chipping, but he was putting. He was more so giving advice and taking photos with celebrities, whether it was Dwayne Wade and David Spade that we saw on Monday. Supposedly, he was late, and he was driving quickly to get back to the golf course where he was staying about 20 minutes away, and he was going to meet Justin Herbert of the Chargers and Drew Brees, currently of the Saints, which we expect a retirement to come this week or next week. But anyway, from the LA Times article, Woods was taken to the Harbor UCLA Medical Center by ambulance, where he was in serious condition and being treated for his injuries, the fire department said. According to the LA Times, his injuries included a shattered ankle and two leg fractures, one of which was a compound fracture, according to a source with his treatment. So I don't want to really speculate on what Tiger Woods' future is going to be in golf, but we know he's had clearly an injury past. To be dealing with a current back injury, now you shatter your ankle and fracture and have two leg fractures? How much more pain and injuries can the human body take? So I'll just leave the question there. And Tiger Woods has been counted out before. We never thought we'd see him win another major. And he did so at the 2019 Masters. Even if, you know, I would say, sure, Tiger does come back in some competitive fashion. But what is he going to look like on a golf course? Now, I just want to scroll down here. Because in this LA Times article, it did give you a local feel from a guy by the name of Bob Fong, who is 67, and he lives on Black Horse Road just north of the crash site, and he noticed the numerous police cars at the Hathrone Boulevard on Tuesday morning and thought it must have been some big celebrity. He did go on to say, Lawrence Swing, who's a 15-year resident of Rancho Palos Verdes, was walking her dog a block from the intersection of the crash site Tuesday afternoon. She said it's a heavily trafficked area, and she went on to say there's accidents all the time. I think it's almost a dangerous stretch of road, and I always stay on the right side because I'm just afraid of people wanting to go fast. Swing said they don't use turn signals sometimes when they switch lanes. I've almost found myself getting into an accident trying to avoid another car cutting me off on that road. It's pretty dangerous. So that's what we have right now, and that's what we've been told. It's a dangerous road. So if we're told that he's not impaired, and who knows if he was texting or whatnot, but he could have just been late, speeding, and because of how dangerous this road is, and there was no skid marks or anything like that, he could have just lost control, unfamiliar with the road, and was very lucky to be alive, because from what we were told, he did communicate with authorities at the scene. He was able to identify himself. And imagine that. You're going to save someone. I know that's your job. And at first, we thought that they needed to use the jaws of life. And that was the case. And they used some tools. But at first, some hand tools to get him out. You don't know who's in that car. And then you finally get the person out of the car and you find out it's Tiger Woods. And according to what we were told, Tiger was able to say, hey, I'm Tiger. He was conscious, all that. He was not able to walk, though. He was taken off on a stretcher into the ambulance and then transported to the hospital, the medical center, where surgery was performed. So once again, from the LA Times, that is what they're reporting now. Injuries included a shattered ankle and two leg fractures, one of which was a compound fracture, according to a source familiar with this treatment. So we'll give you more audio and more updates as we do find them out. Before I get to Russell Wilson, I don't know if you saw this, Trace. So I originally told you about the way that I found out about this today. And I saw this before like 20, I saw it on Twitter. It was just someone that I followed, retweeted this guy, Stephen Gregory, who's a correspondent for iHeartMedia and KFIAM 640. And he said, breaking agency at scene says Tiger Woods was injured in crash in Ranchos Palos Verdes at Half Throne Boulevard near Black Horse Road. Fire crews had to use jaws of life to get him out of the vehicle. I saw that at first, and I didn't know who Stephen Gregory was before today. You know, seems reputable, seems credible, but you kind of don't want to believe that's true, because when you hear jaws of life, you think very serious and could have been deadly and all that and fatal. So you don't want to believe it. And no one else was tweeting about it at the time, or at least I didn't think anyone with any credibility was tweeting about it at the time. And then shortly after that, you did have the statement that confirmed it. I think it was like 20, 25 minutes later from the LA County Sheriff's Department. But actually, someone had this story, by the way, and it just shows you. I know I call Twitter a cesspool all the time, but it is a powerful resource where information gets out before it maybe even becomes public from a reputable reporter. There's this guy on Twitter, or girl, Jay Larso. And the Twitter account says, I'm not an actor, but I play one on TV. This person has a photo of Squidward from SpongeBob SquarePants in his profile picture. He was the first person, and I didn't see this at the time. I saw it from the reporter, but then I've seen it since then. Because on that tweet, when I was reading the comments at first, I did see this, and I go, oh, come on. This guy, Jay Larso, like, who the heck is this? At 12:56 p.m. on the East Coast. Now, we didn't find out about this till like 2:07, 2:10, whatever it was, when we saw that breaking news report. This was at 12:56 p.m. Eastern. A random Twitter account put this out there. Tiger Woods currently in the operating room with two broken legs after a car accident. You heard it here first. Isn't that wild? And clearly this is someone that was either at the emergency room or he has sources in law enforcement, or maybe he just saw, I don't know, the crash occur and he had this account. I don't know when this account was created. It actually says now joined in June of 2011. I would love to know the identity of who this guy or girl is behind this Twitter account. But isn't that wild? And to be fair, right? If anyone actually saw this tweet, I don't know how much traction it got, but if anyone saw this tweet at 12:56 p.m. Eastern, and you look at the Twitter account, you can't really put much value into it, but it ended up being true.
Now, obviously, this example I'm about to use is totally different, but it's like the same thing when Adam Schefter was almost scooped by the Patrick Holmes extension by the lady who was in the liquor store.
Yeah, the liquor store
lady. It's like sometimes, like you said, if you're, you know, unfortunately in the right place in a time like this, or you know someone, like you said, it's sometimes the people have the weirdest connections and boots on the ground.
That's actually a good example, because that more jovial situation, this is a lot more serious, but in this case, I would love to find out who this person was and how they found out this information. Now, the person's DMs are open. I don't know. Can we put someone on that? You know, yeah. Actually, imagine putting that person on the show. No, we can't. Maybe we could. I don't know. Like, I don't want to trust a burner account, but it's got to be someone that is it clearly somehow connected to this, that they had this at right before, a few minutes before 1 o'clock here on the East Coast today. Wild. Alrighty, let me set up this Russell Wilson stuff. Mike Silver was on the NFL Network, and he said 1/3 of the league has checked in on Russell Wilson. And he said what he gathered, not directly from the Seahawks, but I guess talking to other teams, that they get the feel that it would take at a bare minimum, or just to start the conversation, 3 first-round picks. Do I think Russell Wilson's going to get traded this offseason? I do not. Is there, you know, where there's smoke, is there some fire here? Yeah, I would say so. Do I think it's at the point that this is a large fire No, I wouldn't go there. I would not say that a trade is imminent following this season. But Russell Wilson, if he doesn't get things to go his way, could be setting himself up to eventually depart the Seahawks after this year. Now, dead cap-wise, his dead cap for this year is $58 million. Next year, it's $26 million. And the final year of his contract, it's $13 million. And maybe because, now, you're not going to see someone get traded with a dead cap of $58 million, but we've seen Carson Wentz, who has the largest dead cap hit in the history of the league, get traded with him no longer being on the Eagles. We saw Jared Goff get traded from the Rams to the Lions with a large dead cap. So next year, is it crazy to say that just because he has a $26 million dead cap hit? If you would ask me that at some point during the season, I'd say, yeah, you're out of your mind. But at this point, it wouldn't be crazy. I don't think he'll end up getting traded. But maybe he is laying the foundation if he doesn't get what he wants. Maybe Russell Wilson looks at it and says, well, Brady left Bill, so I could leave Pete. Now, are you going to get to a situation that is an upgrade, though? That, I don't know. Because Seattle's a damn good spot. And you got talent. Like, when Brady left, yes, you had Bill. But offensively, what you had was basically nothing. Now, some teams that I think of. The Bears, yeah, I'd give up 3 first-round picks. But what do you got in Chicago on offense? Washington's football team, that would not be a bad landing spot. Got a very good defense, bad division. You got Terry McLaurin and Antonio Gibson. But the Bears' offensive line, if you go back to the Bears, their offensive line stinks. Why'd you want to go from Seattle to Chicago? Could the Raiders maybe be a spot for Russell Wilson? You got Waller. You got Ruggs. Got an all-right offensive line. That wouldn't be a bad spot. Broncos. If I'm the Broncos, I'm doing everything I can to get Watson or Wilson. You start with Watson. If you don't get Watson, maybe next year you go out and get Wilson. But with Fant and Judy, Hamler, Sutton, you got some pieces there and a good defense. And New England will always be connected. But other than Bill, what does New England really have to offer on the offensive end? So, Russ, I don't think he's getting traded this year. Next year, a possibility. If I'm him, I think he will stay in Seattle. But you never know. Clyde Christensen, Bucks QB coach, joins us next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.